We are on. Are you on? We're on.
I'm on.
We're on. Okay. All right. We're good. Welcome to our CCF podcast. Today, it's the bare bones, man. Almost just going to be
CCF
me.
CCF podcast minus two.
Minus two. That's right. I was going to be just me. I thought I was prepared to do it alone. But thankfully, Josh, he had to get away. So.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, he chose to. I don't know if you chose wisely. We'll see.
I call it quits. I just called it quits for the day.
Josh is going to ride along and add some commentary to what I'm going to share. But I thought I'd take the opportunity since I was thinking it was just going to be me. And I wanted to thank, first of all, a lot of people. They had a pastor's appreciation this whole month of October, which is always awkward. I mean, it's just weird. I mean, I
don't really, you didn't like that?
Well, I mean, it's just not. I don't mind. I like getting together and partying and all that stuff. I don't know. It's just as a pastor, it's kind of weird. It's like, I don't know. We don't really.
That big of a celebration was kind of just
It was a lot. But it's been 20 years, and I appreciate that. I appreciate people recognizing that it's been a long time.
I mean, my thought was to just be like, hey, it's been 20 years, and throw a card at you and walk away.
I figured that would, yeah, yeah. Thanks. Appreciate that, Josh.
Yeah.
I'm glad the other people put some thought into it. Yeah. And I appreciate all their hard work because I know your daughter, your wife, the organizing.
Her back still hurts.
Events. Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She put it all. I mean, she was amazing.
Yeah. She.
And it's, and it. I wonder, I'm still like, I have no idea how we didn't know. Like,
so what happens when you threaten people with life?
Yeah. It was amazing. I mean, whatever. A couple hundred people and nobody leaked it. Nobody said anything. And so it was a surprise. People were like, oh, were you surprised? Like, yeah, we were surprised. We were surprised. I really, really didn't know.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we're just oblivious to the stuff that goes on around us or that we just really.
You're not involved in church anymore.
I guess not. I've been removed. You don't matter anymore. But I do want to, I appreciate the appreciation, I guess, that's kind of thing. And I really do. It's not why we do ministry. Obviously, I mean, people, we wouldn't be here 20 years if that was the reason why.
So, yeah.
It's kind of like there's a whole nother reason for it. I've told people before, my growing up as a pastor's kid, my dad, he always told us, because, you know, as a little kid, I'm like, oh, Dad, I want to be a pastor. And he'd say, no, do anything else but. And find something else to make a living off of doing. And I never understood it, but, you know, as I got older, he said, I think that Sunday, it was like, it's a calling. And so run away. Don't go looking for it, because if it's a calling, you'll know, you can't get away from it. And I guess that's pretty much how I ended up where I was. I mean, I was like, okay, well, I'll go into mental health and do whatever. And worked, you know, 15, 16, 17 years in mental health, which I think is great. Training ground for pastoral ministry.
Yeah,
God knew what he was doing. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. And, but you know, when the time came and God called, it was like, yeah, there was no getting away from it. And so, I know what I was supposed to do. But anyway, today I wanted to talk just a few things, and maybe this might be really boring for people, but for others, hopefully you'll gain some insight, and maybe just for your own life, or calling in ministry and that kind of thing. But I took a moment today and I was just thinking about, like, what have I learned over the 20 years of being here? Like, what are some of the things that I've learned? And I think, you know, the number one thing that I learned and from the very beginning is that, I've learned not to take myself too seriously. But I do take the word of God seriously. So, mm-hmm. Like I appreciate and like I know my flaws. I mean, I get it. Like I am not perfect and good in a lot of things.
What
I know my own flaws.
Huh? What are your flaws?
That I love people too much.
Find myself hurting because I love people too much.
I love them too much. But I laugh. Like, I mean, people, there are always some people who want to make sure that you know like your flaws. And it doesn't offend me. Like I don't get offended. Usually I'm like, oh, thank God someone else knows. I thought I was trying to keep it quiet, but you know, I'm glad someone else knows now. And you know, that's probably, I mean, it's just I think, again, part of life growing up and working in mental health and dealing with a lot of different individuals, and they would tell you straight up whether they were psychotic or not, like what they thought of you, and mm-hmm. just kind of had, well, okay, yeah, that's cool. That's funny. You know, like that's good stuff. So again, it was kind of good training, but what I do take seriously is, you know, in particular, like issues that people might bring up, whether they're, it's contrary or they question like my understanding of the word of God or the gospel or just doctrine in general. I do take that seriously. I don't, you know, I can laugh and I can laugh at myself. And, you know, there's that level of like, I don't know what's the word you just, yeah, I can laugh at myself. I don't really, you know, like, whatever. Yes, I get it. But when it comes to like actual, the spiritual aspect of things, when it comes to the word of God, I do take it seriously. And when people have a differing opinion or come in, and I guess over the last 20 years, there have been some people who have come from other places, you know, unfortunately, most of them have come from like strong fundamental backgrounds. And so, you know, that, so a lot of my little rants at times end up addressing that. It's just very religious, very like, no, you have to preach from the King James Version. We have to sing three hymns. We have to do, you know, like, and I'm like, that's not us. Like, I'm sorry. Like, give me Bible verse and, you know, give me the scripture. Like, tell me, you know. And so it has forced me a lot of times to dig into the Word of God and say, okay, like, I'm not saying I'm not without error. So I have, you know, if someone questions something, a stance or whatever that I've taught, like I'm humble enough to know that, yeah, hey, I'll go look, I'll go double check. I've told some other people, like when they're like, well, I don't know if we set them up for preaching or whatever. And I'm like, listen, I said, like, if I'm reading the scripture and I get an idea, I get a thought like, oh, I think this is like, I usually Google or find like some commentary, like, did someone else think of this too? Like, I don't think, right, I'm above like, oh, all of a sudden I got this amazing revelation that no one else ever had. And if I did, then I'm probably like, oh, I might be wrong. So, right, you know, I'm always trying to back it up with making sure that someone else has at least had that same idea, some scholar, some theologian.
A self-check is, yeah, you always should be self-checking.
Yeah. Like I am not someone who thinks, oh yeah, this came straight from God and I got it. Like, you know, there's always that, okay, well, right, let's make sure. Let's make sure I'm not, right, well, teaching heresy.
Well, what is it, you know, by the testimony of two or three witnesses? I know that,
yeah,
that's
right.
Like, we should always make sure that there's somebody out there that agrees, that, yeah, somebody out there, right, that, like, because, like you said, I mean, we are definitely, I'm for myself, I know I'm not the smartest person,
right, yeah,
ever. Even close.
Like, whoa.
And so and if I come up with an idea,
right,
right, I'm pretty sure that there's 1,000 other people come up with the same idea if it's a good one. Yeah.
That's exactly.
And if it's a bad one, they're not writing about it.
Right.
Right.
And as long as we're all using the same scriptures, you know, I mean, the stories don't change. So it's like, okay, right, you know, like, we, you know, there's been a bazillion sermons preached on a lot of different things. So you can always find someone,
right,
you know, or something like, all right, am I on? Am I on? You know, and so. But that, yeah, that's always that important thing. And I think that's probably added to like just, you know, the longevity of being able to be in one place for 20 years. It's like, yeah, I can laugh at myself and I, you know, but I take the word of God seriously. Mm. The other thing that I've learned and, talk a little bit about this. It's a principle. And I guess it's a principle. Someone has labeled it a principle. But I've learned the principle of the open hand. Mm. Martin Luther, he said that, I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Corrie Ten Boom says similarly the same thing. She said, I have learned to hold all things loosely so God will not have to pry them out of my hands. Mm. And then I go all the way to Job. Job said the same thing. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. So yeah, I have learned, I think, over the last 20 years that what God has called me to is to just to be faithful in what he's given. Like he's called me to pastor. He's called me to whatever, like be faithful in that. Don't control it. Like he didn't call me to control it and, or to control the outcomes. Right. A lot of times we get real caught up in like, okay, well he's called me to this one. It has to have this effect or it has to, right, have this outcome. And that's not what he's called us to. And I know, like, anytime, like, if I feel like, oh, like, this is my church and I'm going to, it's me putting my little fingers and gripping it a little bit tighter and tighter. And I was like, whoa, I have to remind myself, no, like, he put me in this position. He can take me out of this position anytime, you know, and I'm just called to be faithful, in that and not worry about the outcomes, I guess, is that like, you can't control that. Just like anything. We share the gospel with an unbeliever. Like I can't save them. Like all I am being faithful to is preaching the word of God,
mm-hmm.
sharing the gospel, and God does the rest,
yeah.
you know? So, I'm just saying I've learned it. I don't say I'm perfect at it. There are things, but you know, 20 years here, there have been a lot of ministries that we've done that have come and gone. We've tried them, we've done them. Maybe they've been successful, but maybe they ran their, I hate the cliche, like, oh, it had a season, right?
Right.
But I know. But it's true. Like ministries, some ministries have a season, and it, you know, they had to be let go and for something else to come in, and you know, a lot of churches get stuck in those places. Like, no, this is what we've done. We've always done it this way. This is my thing. And if you take this thing away from me, then who am I? What do I do? And right. and it's like, listen, you gotta open that hand. Like, let it go. Like right. we did it. It was successful. Maybe now it's not. And we just move on.
And well, that becomes an identity crisis.
Yeah,
too, right?
I think. Yeah, so, you're right. Yeah. Right.
Like, what do so, I? So yeah, we identify in our ministries or whatever it is.
And mm-hmm.
we don't see them as gods. They become ours. And
right.
that's how we, I mean, we do it at work. We do it at whatever.
Yeah.
So to have that ability to be able to be like, nope, it's yours, Lord.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And to let it go. Like just, yeah, to be willing to let it go.
Yeah.
Because the other side of it is if we have an open hand, we can also receive.
Right.
Right. And so if as long as you keep your hand open, he can take out what he needs, but we also can receive whatever he wants to give us. And a lot of times it's like a blessing. It's a new ministry. It's a new aspect of you know, reaching out to something. And it's like, oh, wow, this is amazing.
The hard one for me, like the hard one that I found, and even being here and not pastoring here, but being here and then being a pastor at a different church, mm-hmm. the hardest one was people. The yeah. open hand with people.
Yeah. yeah.
That's the hardest one because you build relationships
yes.
and you build... Yeah. And you love people, and then to have an open hand with them that God's going to either take them away
right.
or well, it's their awful. Time to go away. It yeah. hurts. So
it does.
That for me, that's that been the hard. Yeah. That's the hardest one, even here, like did watching
look,
people go away.
Did you look at my notes?
No.
Because, all right, that's number three. Here's the thing. It leads right into number three.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, you're right on it. And this is like, this is sappy, but and I don't want it to be sappy, but it's just like I've learned that pastoral ministry can be lonely. Okay. Mm-hmm. I watched my dad, who pastored for years, and he knew a lot of people. He ministered to a lot of people. He prayed for a lot of people. He counseled a lot of people, married, buried, all that stuff, a lot of people. But I never saw him have any close friends. And I kind of get that, like, okay, like when you're around people all the time, pouring yourself out, his therapy was... He went to the garage and he worked on one of his cars. Like that was like his, that was his thing. And I was like, oh, you know, he was never one of those guys that like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with my buddies. You know, there was, right. it just wasn't that. And you think it's odd, but then I think there's a place like, particularly in pastoral ministry where it's true. Like you're around people. I know a lot of people, love a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like you said, like you pour into people and they pour into your life and you're ministering together and like, man, this is awesome. I hope we can do this forever. And you're right. Like, but God calls someone, you know, to somewhere else or they move or they get sick or they, you know, all whatever. And all of a sudden it's like, they're gone. And it's like, oh, that's painful.
Right.
And so it's hard to, I guess over the years, it's become easier, I guess, to be able to come to terms with that. And the struggle is in not putting up a defense.
Right.
Like, I still want to be open to be, I want friends, I want to be able to be a friend and not be like, oh, I know this is only going to last for so long, so I'm not going to put myself out there. And that's, initially, that's how I was. The first several years in ministry, it was like, you know, like you said, you see people come and go. It's like, I'm not, like,
yeah.
That's a way, I don't want to waste my energy and time, and it hurts too much.
Right. And that, yeah. And that's tough.
Yeah.
And what's hard, like, is to love the people that come in.
Yeah.
To accept the people that come in as if they're never leaving.
Right. Right.
They're always going to be a part of your life. You have to give them that much of you.
Yeah.
Every single time, all the time, because that's what we're required to do, right?
Right.
And as ministers, as, you know, pastors, that's the heart.
Right.
And yes, does it hurt? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's family, right? You bring in, it's right. the family. You know, they become part of the family. They become, and it's, you know, and you know, there's been plenty, you know, through the years that, you know, we were close friends with because we were ministering together, and that's part of it. And, you know, a lot of my friendships, obviously, are based around church because, I mean, it's the primary focus of my life. And so, you know, when we're ministering and stuff together, you're much closer to people, and then, you know, they go to somewhere else, they go to a different church, you're like, like you lose that relationship,
right?
You know, and it's hard, you know. It's six, seven years ago, I was able to come to terms, because it was tough. There's some close people in our lives, and you know, for whatever circumstances, they chose to leave, and I was like, man, we struggled with that. And we went back down to Virginia, visited with an old pastor friend, and he was a mentor of mine when I was young, and we just sat in his office, and Stephanie and I were just there, and he knew that, like, he totally understood, like, where we were at. And he's like, yep. And he goes, but Tobin, it's like, I get it. Like, I struggle with this thing. You know, you pour into people, you counsel people, you help them. You know, they're on the brink of like their marriage falling apart, and you're spending all this time with them. They're calling you at night, like, oh, we need to meet you again. And you spend all this time, and they get, you know, reconciled. And you're like, oh, this is great. You've poured yourself in, and then they leave.
Right.
And he goes, you know what? He goes, I struggle with that. And the Lord said, and his name was Willie Ray. He's like, Willie Ray, I know it hurts, but will you do it again? And I was like, oh,
yeah,
that got That's me right it. There. And he looked, he goes, Tobin, I know it hurts, but will you do it again? I'm like, yes, of course I'll do it again.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no, it's no more like, yeah, there's no more defense. There's no more wall there to like, hey, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you like you said, like I'm never going to leave. Like you're never going to leave.
Right.
And yeah, and if you do, it's going to hurt, but I'm going to do it again.
Right.
And it's like, oh, and so it was a revelation, and it really set Stephanie and I free. Like, this is what, you know, you realize this is what you're called to do.
Yeah.
And God, if God brings someone in your life, you're going to pour your life out on them. You're going to, you know, walk with them, befriend them, make them, you know, and then if God moves them away, you're like, oh, okay, this hurts, but I will do it again.
And right.
Like, man. Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough one. That one's.
But what, you know, the other side of it is I've found, like, especially with my mom and my dad, my mom is my dad's best friend, and I think a lot of people, it's particularly in ministry, like you really, if you're a couple, if you're a married couple, I mean, you really got to be in it together. You know, yes. Regardless, you know, like you gotta be, it's not going to work if, you know, if the last thing your spouse wants is for you to be in ministry, and you're the only friend they're going to have sometimes. It's like, and you know, and I can say that, like, my wife has been, she's been my best friend. She's been through all of it. She's, you know, dealt with all the different stuff. And I will just tell you now, like, she is my greatest defender. She feels it when I get insulted or criticized or whatever. And I'll tell you right now, like, you're lucky people that I go work out, that I can hold her back from, you know, she might look sweet and innocent, but I love the fact, I mean, she, you know, it's like, you know, and she hates it when I say, I'm like, honey, just calm down. It's like, I will not calm down. she gets like mama bear. She gets mama bear, and it's great. And I've kept her from giving some people the right uppercut of fellowship several times. Like, how dare they say such a thing? You know, like, oh. But anyway, this is, but the fourth thing I've learned is, and it's still a work in progress, but I've learned to ask for help, to delegate, and to pace myself better. At one point, I was thinking back, at one point, it wasn't right from the beginning, but at one point, I literally was the janitor, the groundskeeper. I was a counselor, youth leader, worship leader, missions leader, sound technician, office administrator, pastor, football coach, track coach, husband, father, and substitute teacher. Like, that was like a, there was a time in my, like, how is that even possible? Well, it's not. Like, it's not sustainable. It's not possible. It is not advisable. Like, no one should ever do that. And thankfully over time, and I will say, you know, with persistence of, like, elders and leadership saying, stop, like, you can't do all this. You're not, you need to give this stuff. And it's taken time. I'm getting there. It's hard. You know, it's hard to let go of things that you just find yourself doing, right. And you do it a certain way. But yeah, I was like, that was insane. I can't even imagine. I don't even know how it was possible. Maybe that's why 20 years flew by, because I was just like, what the heck was wrong? Yeah. What the heck was wrong with me? But thankfully, you know, like you saw me, you've been in those elders meetings, and we now lives, you know, you're like, okay, a few years ago, like, okay, what are you giving up? Like, what are you handing over? What are you, I'm like, I don't know.
Nothing.
My dad was like, you are not going to keep mopping the floor. Right. Cut it out. but I like to mop the floor.
Oh yeah. It was always, I like to, I like doing that, but I like doing that.
Yeah. So I've gotten better. But you know, I think part of it is like when you start as like, you know, it was a small church, and a lot of that stuff, you know, you take on because we don't have the people to do all that stuff. Right. But then when you do, like for me, it's like, oh, okay, well now I got to give that up. But I liked it. I like to have I can control what's happening.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was being done the way you liked it.
Right. And my dad always said, like, you know, in order to delegate, you got to be willing to have someone else do it. They won't do it like you do,
nope.
But you got to have them, you got to let them do it. And that's hard. Yeah, it's hard. It's harder done than said. I mean, and yeah, but I've gotten better at it. And, you know, for even with the worship part, like I mean, I love to, you know, like that's a part, I love to worship the Lord. I love music. I love singing and all that stuff. But it was so nice. It's been a couple of years now. I remember going on vacation and coming back, and people were saying, wow, like there were people who were like, oh, what's like worship team B going to be like, you know, like expecting the like, wah, wah, you know, and, but they were like, wow, the worship team was like, great. It didn't miss a beat, whatever. I'm like, yeah. I was like, that was so awesome. I was like, yes. What an amazing, like that's so wonderful. Like, I, you know, like, yeah, I wasn't there. And it, you know,
and it kept going,
and worship wasn't crappy, you know? Right. And so, yeah, and it kept going, and I was like, oh, that's so good. And yeah, so that's like a relief, you know, and I've been able to experience that in other areas as I let go. I mean, I have, you know, we have great people. We have, you know, our janitors, Victor and Angie are here. I mean, they're here almost every day, rearranging tables, doing, and I used to do all that, and I don't even have to think about it anymore.
The ministries that go on throughout the church that are happening without anybody's hands touching them, or like you, like, or any of us, like, yeah. Well, we've got to be in charge of that, and all of us have had to get used to that, because it was a smaller church, mm-hmm. and then go to the bigger, the larger church, and be like, okay, no, we don't have to be here when this happens. We don't have to be here when the doors open. We don't have to. Wow, we don't have to be.
I'm not a part of PAL. I'm not a part of Regen. You know what I mean? Like like that. Just those are just ministries that go on. I come and check in and say hi every once in a while. Like, nothing. Like this is awesome. You know, and they're doing great. They're moving along, you know, and it's like, oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
And that's how a healthy church should be functioning.
Right.
You know, like more people engaged, doing their thing. And
and not relying on one person.
Yes. Amen. Yes, because that's a lot.
Right.
Yes. All right, number five. How much time? Where are we at? We good?
24.
Oh, we're good. Okay, yeah. I only got through one. All right, number five. I've learned that not everything God asks of you will come easy. I think we all tend to have that understanding. Like, well, I'm just praying, like God will open the door, and then it'll be like right there. You know, like everything that God ordains should be like easy. And man, that's a quick way to burn out. Fast and give up too soon. And I think, you know, we learned that over the years, that just because something all of a sudden gets difficult, it doesn't mean that it's not from the Lord, or doesn't mean that, we're not supposed to do that. We'll just quit. Sometimes it's literally like, okay, God's like, come on, like persevere, do the hard things, you know, get the momentum going, that kind of stuff. And you know, I think Christians, we should be the first people to sign up to do hard things. Like, yes, you know,
absolutely.
And sadly we're just like, nah, that's too hard. Nah, I don't know. It didn't kick off right off, you know, right away. And not a lot of people came or whatever. Like, we just, it's like, did God put something on your heart to do? You know, I mean, and I'll just take present day, like this summer. And I cannot deny, like this summer, the Lord laid on my heart, like the teenagers in our church and in this area, like we have to do something. We have to prepare them and train them to be able to walk in their faith, to know their faith, defend their faith, and be able to share their faith with the world around them. Because, you know, too often we spend a lot of time playing games. We spend a lot of time singing songs, and then they go out and they graduate from high school, and then they get slaughtered by the world, who's like, oh, that's stupid, yeah, whatever, you know. And so it just was a burden on my heart that I couldn't get rid of. And, you know, we're going to start one. So people understand, I'm not looking to be the youth leader long-term. Like, I just feel like I need to get it started.
Yeah.
We're starting. We first week we had like 5 people. Second week we had like 6 people. You know, this week we had, I think, 10. So like, nice. We doubled. Like, yay.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not even the point of like, but it's like, okay, it's going to take some time. You know, we're doing it Wednesdays, people play sports, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that goes along with it, but, it has to get going. And then, you know, and we're praying for the right people to step in into those things. So, you know, I think ultimately faith grows when it's stretched, right? And there's a lot of things that as a church, if we want our faith to grow, we want the church to grow. And we've been experiencing that stretching, even the last couple of years, we were stretched to capacity. You know, and we were getting, you know, the service was full, and there were complaints about, you know, we got way too many kids downstairs, and there's no place to park. And I mean, like, okay. And we got stretched, and we started praying and seeking the Lord. And, you know, then we was like, okay, well, let's go to 2 services. And that was a stretch. Yep. All summer long, that stressed me out. And I'm like, all right, do we have enough people? We got to have all these things covered. But man, like, we did it. It wasn't easy.
The stretching thing, like the faith part of it, like we stepped out without knowing whether we had enough people.
Right.
Like still were like, okay, we don't know that this is going to work, and we're just going to do it. And we did it, and we've had enough people every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
It's God has just provided it, and He provides it when we just go, okay.
Yeah. And it's been, like, you know, from a pastor's point of view, it's been awesome to see in doing the 2 services, the multiple different people that have stepped in to help, right? Like, it's, like, it gives more opportunity for more people to, like, hey, oh, there's a need. I can do this. And, like, so that's awesome. So the body of Christ is, like, functioning more. But it's, none of it was easy. All of it was done, bathed in a lot of prayer, and, you know, and the stretching, you know, we're still stretching. Like, we're buying a piece of property across the street, and like, okay, that's a stretch. Like, I don't know, like, what are we doing with this? You know, but God is pointing us in those directions. So we're doing it. And it's, I guess part of it is like, don't give up too soon, I guess.
Right.
You know, I feel like sometimes people just, like, man, you don't know how close you were to the breakthrough because you quit.
Right.
You stopped. Yeah. Like, what if tomorrow was the day? And yet you're like, nah, I'm not going to church again. I'm not going to pray this prayer again. I'm not going to, you know. And I was like, man, I mean, Curtis, when he's sitting around, he was always talking about disciplines. Like, we got to, you know, discipline. Get in your word. Get in the word of God. Be reading the Bible. Get into prayer. Get into a Bible study. Get to church, you know. Those aren't easy things, you know. It takes time away from other stuff, but yeah, you got to build those disciplines. So when the times get tough, you're like, okay, I can step out and do this. I mean, it's silly. And I purposefully put myself in ice cold water in a tub in my garage, you know, on a daily basis, just to do something hard, like in the morning. Like,
oh, I thought that was because you were a psycho.
Well, that's probably true too. I was like, well, this morning, I'm like, why do I do this? And I'm like, oh yeah, I want to do hard something, like a hard thing early in the morning. And then the rest of my day is like, yeah, pretty good. Like, once I warm up, it's bad. It's getting cold outside now, which is good. Just, but you know, so there's those things. So there's like, you know, here's the hard thing that I realized. Like sometimes just to do a hard thing, I answer my cell phone when I don't know who's on the other end. I don't like doing that.
That is a hard thing.
I don't like doing that.
No, I don't either.
Because I don't like that it's a surprise. You know, it's like, who is on this? And I know other people feel that way. Like most everybody I have in my contacts, and if their name doesn't come up, then it's like, who is this?
Right.
And I'm like,
I do the same thing. Because you think it's a spam call.
I know. And
you're like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to answer this.
But it's a hard thing. And it's hopefully building up, you know, it builds up that reserve that when the times actually do get hard, it's like, okay, we can do this. We can do this. We can stretch. We can walk out in faith and do that thing. So I want to encourage people to do that. Number six, I have also learned over the last 20 years to be much more discerning. And I guess it's really better to actually I've learned to inquire of the Holy Spirit much quicker and more often for discernment. We live in crazy times and, you know, where things are not always what they seem to be and people aren't who they pretend to be. I always remind every time when I'm reading through the scriptures in the year, I get to Joshua, and in Joshua 9, it's called like the Gibeonite deception. Remember that? Like where Israel, they're slaughtering all these, yes. all the nations.
And they came up.
And the Gibeonites, they put on this whole ruse,
yeah,
and pretend that they came from a faraway country, and they're like, they brought stale bread, and like, and it says, I think it's verse 14, like they're like, well, how do we know you're not from here? Like, oh no, look, like my saddlebags, they were like brand new, and look how far we've come. And it says in verse 14, it said, the Israelites sampled their provisions, right? So they checked, like, oh yeah, you got moldy bread, you must have been traveling a long time, but did not inquire of the Lord. And then they made this peace treaty with the Gibeonites. 3 days later, find out they live like right next door.
Right.
And you know, then the rest of the, all the rest of the assembly of the Israelites are grumbling against the leadership. And I read that every year. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what a great reminder! Like, don't you know, like you got to go to prayer. You got to inquire of the Lord. Right. It should always be our first instinct. Like, that sounds too good to be true? Or I don't know if this is the right person. And man, we just
right.
We fall for it. We get too cocky.
Yeah, it looks good and yeah. it seems right. And yeah.
Oh, this is a great deal. This is a good. Yeah. Oh, this will be wonderful. And like, oh, like we got to pray. Like it's, I think that's it. One, I mean, first of all, we don't even know how much God has saved us from because we've gone to the Lord and inquired of him about every circumstance, ministries, people going into leadership stuff. I mean, God has saved us and spared us from, I'm sure, many more things than we can imagine. You have to, you know, make it a life decision as well as, you know, when you're leading a church, you know, the leadership's got to be praying. They've got to be just seeking the Lord, asking for discernment. Like, is this the way, Lord? Like, should we do this? And, man, it's just, it saves, like my dad said a couple weeks ago, you know, what they call it, Walden's folly, right? Like the church, they wanted to, they changed the direction of the sanctuary thinking they were going to add more space.
Yes.
And they did all that, spent a lot of money, and it added no more seats.
Right.
It's like maybe there should have been a little more prayer, a little more discerning, a little more, you know, and then the people are like, oh gosh, like,
right.
We just wasted this money and we didn't gain anything.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. But,
yeah, we don't want to do that. We don't want to put like,
right.
We want to be what God wants,
yes,
and not what we want, because right. He'll have the ultimate plan.
Absolutely. And so we have to be discerning, and I think that's what's saved us a lot. And over the 20 years, I have definitely become not more discerning, and the Spirit is discerning, but like just more like readily like, okay, God, like, is this right? Like, are we heading in the right direction? You know, Holy Spirit, is this person for real? Like, or who are they? You know,
I think we have a tendency to get excited, and we can get excitable about stuff. We see people come in. We see, we see, you know, this opportunity come in, and we get excited about it.
Right.
And in our excitement, and this is where you and I are similar in a lot of ways, is we're just like, let's do it. Let's jump on. Let's take it all in, you know.
But where we're different is I don't burn the ship.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, well, okay, let's go check it out. This is cool.
Yeah.
No, Josh, like, he'll burn the ship, cut the cord.
If I was with Moses before we went over to the promised land, I would have been like, no, you know what we're doing? We're crossing over.
Let's go.
Yeah. We're
I don't need to check it out.
And we're going to throw stones at the giants because we're going to make it so that it's happening right now. You don't even get to, we're not even spying out the land. Yeah, but I think the spying out of the land is a good.
Right.
That's what we need to do, right? They need to go. We need to go spy out the thing that's happening. Yeah. Do our due diligence. Talk to the people that know the people that are coming in. You know, what is this person? Who is this person?
Right. What is going on?
Yeah. We have opportunities in this day and age. We have opportunity to find out a lot about a lot.
We can.
And
yes, yeah, that's for sure.
So. You know, somebody can say that this, and we can make one phone call and find out a whole bunch of stuff about one person.
That's for sure. That's for sure. All right, the last thing, if you're still listening to us and you even care. Yeah. Number seven, the thing that I've learned over the last 20 years, I have learned that, first of all, evil does not stop itself. I think as a pastor, I've learned that you have to stand on the truth of God's word, and you cannot compromise. I think when pastors or leadership and churches compromise even a little bit, they don't realize that evil doesn't compromise. If you give them an inch, wickedness and evil will take the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
And I've watched over the last 20 years, and just over a lifetime, and you watch ministries, they make some compromises, and pretty sure, you know, sooner or later they're no longer credible, they're no longer ministering, they're just like it's just falls apart. So just like. I take that very seriously, kind of going back to like number one, like the word of God is their primary source. And we, you know, you have to be able to stand. I'm going to stand on the word of God. If the word of God calls sin, sin, you know, or calls a particular behavior sin, like, well, that's what the word of God says. Like, I'm a messenger of the word of God. Don't shoot the messenger. But that's, you know, that's where we stand. Yes, I will continue to preach the gospel of hope in Christ to all sinners. I don't hate anyone. People get trapped in sin. They get trapped in different things and get in bondage to sin. And I'm willing to work with anyone who desires to walk in a new life in Jesus Christ. Like I regardless of where you're coming from, regardless of whatever embarrassing history or background or sin that you might've found yourself caught in, you're willing to do the work and willing to walk, you know, in Christ, and to be set free, then I could say that for every person in our leadership at our church, we'll walk with you.
Yeah.
We will pray with you. We will hold you accountable. We'll do whatever we got to do. But we're going to stand on the word of God, and we're not going to compromise. Like, oh, that's okay. You can keep your little pet sin. Like, no, we need to kill it. And if you need us to help you kill it, we'll stand right there and, you know, get our hands bloody too, but that's just part of where we are in our society today, you know, and as churches kind of fall by the wayside because they compromise, and they're no longer churches. So, you know, we are a hospital. We're a hospital for the sin sick and the broken people who want healing. And we will constantly say healing is only found in no one else but Jesus Christ. I mean, that's where we stand. That's what I've learned. And thankfully, it's not from experience. It's just from observing the world and the churches around, you know, in our culture today. And so, you know, we need people to realize like we hold the word of God to be our primary source of enlightenment, of salvation, of, you know, like how do we live our lives? I mean, even like the Titus Bible study we're doing with the men, man, it's shaking some of these guys. Yeah. They're reading it and like, whoa, like that's what a man's supposed to do. That's how, I'm not measuring up. Like exactly. None of us do. We're not going to do it perfectly. But we're walking together in it, and God's going to give us that, the strength and grace to do it. So that's exciting. There's more. There's so many other things I've learned over the years, but whatever. Seven's good. It's a number of completion.
Yeah.
You know, we'll call it a day.
I think it's good. Good stuff.
Yeah. But these people know what's going on. But I appreciate people, appreciate your prayers. Please pray for our leadership of the church constantly. We're all put here and to minister, and it puts us all on the front lines of you know, whatever's going on in the world, in spiritual warfare. So, you know, our elders and deacons and women's leadership and all these things, they're right out there. And so please remember to be praying for them. Pray for their protection. Pray for constant provision for whatever ministry God calls us to. And yeah, hopefully you're encouraged as well and understand the vision of, you know, what we're here for. You know, and I think that's it. So I got nothing else to say.
That's it.
Bye.